ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 ॐ नमो भगवते
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal, text number 20. Vyavasayena te anena dushka reina manasvinam tapa nishtena bhavata jita aham titinandana Vyavyasayena tenena Dushkarena manasvinam Taponishtena bhavata Jitoham ditinandana Vyavyasayena By determination Te Your anena, this dushkarena, difficult to perform, manasvinam, even for great sages and saintly persons, tapanishtena, aimed at executing austerity, bhavata, by you. Jita, conquered. Aham, I. Diti Nandana, O son of Diti. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear son of Diti, with great determination and austerity, you have done what was impossible, even for great saintly persons. And thus I have certainly been conquered by you. Purport. In regard to the word jita, Srila Madhva Muni gives the following quotation from the Shabda Nirnaya. Para bhutam vashastam cha jitabhid uchate buddhai. If one comes under someone else's control or is defeated by another, he is called jita. Hiranyakashipu's austerity was so great and wonderful that even Lord Brahma agreed to be conquered by him. Om Jnana Timaranda Shaganandjana Shalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shivadeva Namaha. I was in the darkest darkness of ignorance. But my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, came to me and so mercifully, he is forcing my eyes open with this torchlight of transcendental knowledge. My eternal obeisance is at His lotus feet. So it's quite interesting to note here that Brahmaji has been conquered. Someone else may think, well, this is pretty good. I will also conquer Brahmaji. I will go to the Rocky Mountains and I will try to imitate Hiranyakashipu so I can conquer Brahmaji. But as we find out, as this saga unfolds, that Brahmaji is not as powerful as Hiranyakashipu thought he was, to provide the boons desired, or the boon desired by Hiranyakashipu. So as it turns out, Shama Eva Hi Kevalam, even for his material desire, turned out to be a useless labor for him. All these austerities he had done standing on his tiptoes for 125 years. It was a complete waste, actually. Simply waste. Because when he wanted immortality, and Brahmaji said, I cannot give you immortality because I do not have it. And then Hiranyakashipu thought he would use his superior, what he thought was his superior intelligence, to get immortality anyway. He says, I will not be killed in the day or the night. Don't sleep. Don't sleep. I will not be killed in the day or the night. I will not, blessed may I not be killed by any man or by any beast. I will not be killed inside or outside or in the land or the air. So many, many, many conditions he was giving. And he thought, now I've got it covered. I've covered every single possible base. So surely now I'm immortal. Even though Brahmaji said no, now I have gotten it anyway, my superior intelligence. But guess what? Shama eva hi kevalam. He schemed and he plotted and he did so many austerities for what? Simply to be killed. So instead of trying to conquer over Brahmaji or any other thing that we may try to conquer over, in this material world, there are so many tiny Hiranyakashipus, and they're all doing various austerities and penances, much smaller degree, of course, to try to conquer over in some way, whether it's in politics, whether it's in business, and whatever field of activity it may be, interpersonal relationships. Everyone is trying to become in that supreme position. Indeed, that is the very disease which brought us here to this material world to begin with. The desire to be the supreme. And until we become spotlessly pure devotees to the degree that we are not completely surrendered to Krishna, to that degree we are still contaminated with the desire to be the supreme. So we should honestly admit that to ourselves, realize it about ourselves, that we are actually in a diseased state of consciousness right now. So we should be a little humble. We're actually very, very humble. We shouldn't walk around thinking that we're great, that no one can tell me anything, you see, that I'm beyond being instructed. Should not think like that. We see practically that those devotees who are the most advanced are more willing to be instructed. I'll give you a very good example, very graphic example in this connection. One time at the airport, Prabhupada was going, had gone to the airport for, you may have heard already, but it's a nice story if you haven't, it bears repeating. So sweet. So Prabhupada was at the airport, and all the devotees, of course, were there surrounding him. And you know how it was. Huge crowd. Everyone came to the airport to see Prabhupada off. Nobody wanted to miss the nectar of being at the airport to see Prabhupada off. I mean, it was absolutely packed with devotees. Of course, that was the old days before, you know, all the terrorism and the hijackings. And you could go right up to the gate. All the devotees were there, right up to the gate. You didn't have clear security in those days. You could just, you know, there was no security at the airports. The only thing you had to do was have a ticket to get on the plane. Other than that, it was free access for everyone. So anyway, there's a huge crowd of devotees there. And there's so many devotees, they're blocking the everything. I mean, there's nowhere, no one can get through the area because it's completely solid packed with devotees. And the airport officials are in complete anxiety. What to do, you know, we have a congestion problem here that, you know, our customers can't get through. What to do? So they went up to the devotees and said, can you please move? And nobody's going to move one foot away from Prabhupada. Everybody's got they're camped out, but they got their spot as close as possible to Srila Prabhupada. And not one devotee is going to budge one inch away from Prabhupada. They don't care what authority or what policeman or who says anything. I'm camped out here. I'm having my darshan or Srila Prabhupada, and I don't care what you say. I'm staying right here. So it was very perplexing. They could not get the devotees to move. They just couldn't do it. So finally they came to Rupanuga, who was the GBC. And they asked him, and he, you know, being in that position, he had to do something. So he finally just stood up on a chair There, you know, one of the chairs that people sit on there. He stood up in the chair and made an announcement. All devotees should leave the area immediately. But still nobody was moving. Every devotee is staying there. There's only one devotee that took the instruction. You know who that was? Prabhupada. Prabhupada stood up. Oh, all devotees should leave. Well, I'm one of the devotees, so I have to leave. So Prabhupada got up. The GBC had made an instruction. All devotees should leave the area. So he thought, I have to obey the GBC. Prabhupada thinks he's one of the members of ISKCON and he has to obey the GBC's instructions. So he got up to leave the area. So it shows you that those who are more advanced, they are more willing to follow instructions than those who are less advanced. If you want to show yourself to be a neophyte devotee, then just be very stubborn to follow instructions. Be very, very stubborn to follow instructions from your superiors. And those who are the most surrendered, the most willing to follow the instructions of their superiors, they are the most advanced devotees. Prabhupada trained me personally. He says, he wrote me a letter from Paris. He said, follow whatever instructions you receive from your temple authority without question. Period. Just follow the instruction, period. That's how Prabhupada trained me. And I did that. And I've always done that, and that has kept me, in spite of all the ups and downs that you normally go through, it's kept me here solidly for 35 years. You know. So it's one of those insider's tips that I like to give. If you want to know the secret of how to make it in Krishna consciousness, be subservient and obedient to your authority. That's what Prabhupada trained me. There's a lot of counter-propaganda now against our movement, against our leaders, by former disgruntled members. And they want us to follow them instead of the leadership of ISKCON. But Prabhupada, don't sleep in class, please. If you're having a hard time, stand up. So, Prabhupada made it very clear to us. He said that we should never leave this society that he created. He says, even if you find it intolerable, you should not leave. He said, actually, there's nothing intolerable in the association of devotees, but if you think it's intolerable, still you should not leave. So Prabhupada told us, actually, there's our mental conception if we think it's intolerable. Simply our mental conception. But even if your mind is telling you this is an intolerable situation, you should not leave. That's how Prabhupada trained us. So, if we can stick to these programs, you're not going to be a conqueror over Brahma. You may say that's an austerity, but Sankarsana Prabhu, that's such an austerity. You know, how can you expect me to always do that? To be, you know, be surrendered to my authority? How you can ask me to do that? It's a great austerity. Even if you do that, you're not going to conquer Brahma. But I can guarantee you're going to even be a better Jita. You're going to be one who conquers over Krishna. Krishna is described as Ajita, someone who is unconquerable, completely unconquerable. But if you actually surrender fully unto Krishna through the parampara system, guru parampara, evam parampara system, then I can guarantee you, I absolutely guarantee you, that day will come and you will conquer Krishna. So why conquer Brahma, who can't make you immortal, when you can conquer Krishna? This is the program that the society is offering you. This Krishna consciousness society is offering you a system, a technique, a discipline, a society, a program which will enable you to personally conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can you imagine that? If Krishna became your personal property? That person who not a blade of grass can move without his will, without his sanction. That person who absolutely controls everything, who owns everything. Just imagine if he's your personal property. What would be your position? How opulent, how powerful, how unlimitedly auspicious that position is. So that's if you do the austerity of following this program that Prabhupada has given us. If you were simply a guru, this austerity, to do it purely, to not deviate, to be a strict devotee, if you will sincerely do this, then I absolutely guarantee that day will come when Krishna will manifest himself to you personally and you will actually conquer over him, just like Mother Jasoda or Arjuna. I guarantee it. Because that's what Prabhupada has taught us. It's not my personal guarantee. I'm just passing on Prabhupada's guarantee. So how fortunate we are, and how sublime is this Krishna consciousness. How sublime is this Krishna consciousness movement. One time, one of our godbrothers asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, what happens when we give somebody a Simply Wonderful on the street? Srila Prabhupada said, he will take that wonderful sweet and he will come to your temple and he will become Simply Wonderful. And then Prabhupada continued to speak. He was enlivened by that question. He said, Krishna is simply wonderful. This process of Krishna consciousness is simply wonderful. And you are all simply wonderful. And then one devotee said, and Prabhupada is simply wonderful. And Prabhupada said, that's all right, have kirtan. So if you will simply stick with this process of Krishna consciousness, this simply wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, it will just be like eating the most wonderful gulab jamun at every second, the unlimited ultimate gulab jamun, eternally relishing the eternal gulab jamun. Simply wonderful Krishna consciousness movement. So we should develop a deaf ear to all these critics who are telling us to leave ISKCON, that the leaders are no good, there's been so many fall downs, therefore, you know, you shouldn't obey the leadership of ISKCON, you shouldn't listen to the GBC, you shouldn't listen to your temple president, you should tell your guru to take a hike. You shouldn't listen to all this counter-propaganda. It's simply poison. If this counter-propaganda needs to be stamped out very solidly, because it's the worst enemy of our movement, actually. This counter-propaganda that telling us not to follow the leadership of ISKCON. What can I say? Prabhupada ordered me to follow the leadership. Now, Prabhupada, there is a mechanism within our society. If one feels that leaders are not doing the right thing, there is a mechanism. One can, in fact, this year in Mayapur, they have an open forum. Any devotee who wants to make a presentation to the GBC body is welcome to do that. You just report at a certain time, you give your name to the sergeant at arms, and you're on the agenda to speak to the whole GBC body. If you feel something, just like in the old days, any citizen can go to the king. He could make complaint. And the king would open-mindedly consider if it was a just or an unjust complaint, and he would take proper action. So the GBC has that facility now. At the annual meeting, you can go and you can make your presentation to the GBC body that this is not going proper in our society. This needs to be adjusted in this way. And if it's a just complaint, they will act on it. Or you can also submit a written proposals for GBC resolutions. Any devotee can put forward a proposal for GBC resolutions. So this, we are working together as a body of devotees throughout the world to establish a perfect society. So please, if you feel something needs to be done to improve the society, then make your realization known. Because we're working together. We're all working together to try to make Prabhupada's mission a success. And it's our duty. It's the duty of every single member, as we've been saying, as in Indian Railways, it's the duty of every member to see that the wheel in the train is turning. It's the duty of every member of ISKCON to see that this society is successful in inundating the world with Krishna consciousness. So kindly take up this mood of responsibility to work cooperatively and responsibly to see that this society is successful and does in fact inundate the world. This focus, this sort of meditation, if you take it very seriously in your heart, this will keep you purely fixed in Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna has given us the order that you must surrender to me. Sarvadharman padityaja napada, that verse, Sarvadharman padityaja mame kangshadanam raja, that we have to surrender fully to him. Now Prabhupada has explained in the Kali Yuga that, open your eyes, I want to make sure you're not sleeping. You mentioned this, the speaker's eye contact. I would like to have a listener's eye contact also. Make sure you're with us. You're not drifting off somewhere. So, Prabhupada explains that in this Kali Yuga, that instruction of Krishna to surrender to me, he says, that order in the Kali Yuga takes the form of Jare Deka Tarikara Krishna Upadesa, become a guru and deliver the people of this country. That's so taking responsible position in this movement to see that it is successful in awakening the fallen conditioned souls, that is how we surrender. That is our surrender to Krishna. To take the responsible position that I have to take my responsible duty to see that this preaching movement is successful. Every single member should be seeing how this movement can be successful. Doesn't matter, a child, an old person, a woman, a man, a brahmachari, a sannyasi, grahastha, it doesn't matter. A member, even not in, just those who are members also, they should become responsible too. Everyone should take the responsibility to see that this movement is a grand success. And that is our surrender to Krishna. That is our practical program for surrendering to Krishna. So, kindly do that. This is what Prabhupada wants. Kindly do this. And I can guarantee you, every minute of your life will be ecstatic, absolutely ecstatic, if you do this. So, are there any questions? Yes?
If I want to take, I've noticed by reading Bhagavad Gita myself that some things just, I can't get them to connect. I mean, is there a time during the day or a certain day that people get together and read through the Bhagavad Gita?
Well, we have an evening. We've been having, while I'm here, I've been giving a whole lecture series in the Bhagavad Gita. But it's over now, I'm leaving today. But you could have come every evening. We have a wonderful Bhagavad Gita discussion. We could have certainly answered whatever questions you have, but you can always, feel free to write me. After this class, I can give you my email address. Or you can, the devotees here also.
But no, if, I don't live too far from
here. Huh?
I said I do not live too far from here.
Well, what you can do is write all your questions down and give one of the senior devotees here. And they'll be happy to answer your questions for you. We're here just to serve you. That we're not here, that's why we're here. We're simply to serve you. That's all we're here for. Otherwise, we'd all be in Vrindavan.
True.
But we have made Vrindavan here with wonderful deity worship, prasadam, wonderful kirtans, just so you can experience what is the sublime atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. So kindly come. Otherwise, we'll just all leave and go to Vrindavan. Kindly come and bug us with all of your questions. We'll take it as a great blessing.
Yeah, there's also a place of music you guys have learned.
What is that?
To play guitar for the cafe. So it's something that I'm kind of looking forward to. So.
Yes, it is faith, but it is not blind faith.
No.
Our faith is based on knowledge. Just like if you get in an automobile to ride somewhere, you have your knowledge and experience. Well, this looks like a safe automobile.
Yeah.
If it looks like an old, bomb trap or whatever, you may not want to get in that automobile to go for a ride. You see? So you put faith in the automobile, but it's based on knowledge, because you know what is a safe automobile and what's a dangerous automobile.
Right.
You know, if the door's falling off the hinges, you may not want to go for a ride in the car. You know, if it's backfiring and, flames are shooting out the exhaust pipe, you may not want to get in it because you have some knowledge of what is a safe car and what is a dangerous car. So our faith is not blind. It's based on knowledge. We have the Vedic knowledge.
Well, it's not blind. It's not blind. It's just
right.
Reading through the account, it gets a little confusing to me when I was reading through it.
What you have to do is put forward every single question you have. This is when I was coming to this movement. You know, I was also sometimes confused because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of information here. So, but what I was told was that you have to have your intelligence fully satisfied. Vishnujan Maharaj told me, you must have your intelligence fully satisfied. Because blind following is not allowed here. We don't allow anybody to be a blind follower because this is not a brainwashed cult.
No.
This is a movement for the most highly intelligent class of people on this planet. So we want your intelligence to be fully satisfied. There's not any doubt, not any blind acceptance, nothing. It's all based on intelligent understanding. So what you do is you keep putting forward your questions. You get the answers, it's a process of putting the questions, getting the answers, putting another question, another answer, another question. Just keep inquiring until you're in here with an open heart. And finally that time will come when all the doubts will be gone and you'll absolutely know and you'll understand everything perfectly and you'll surrender completely at Krishna's lotus feet. So do that and the process works.
Okay.
It does work. Just do it, and you'll reap the ultimate reward. Any other? Yes.
Thank you. Prabhu, sometimes in our preaching, we tell people that this material civilization will be finished in a few years. So they think, okay, let me enjoy now before it's gone.
Yes. So someone may say that, you know, let me enjoy now, you could do that, yes. But you can ask them, would you rather enjoy temporarily or rather enjoy permanently? You can certainly, there is two types of enjoyment. It is called Shreya and Preya in Sanskrit language. There are two very nice words, Shreya and Preya. Preya means that which is immediately enjoyable. So this society is offering all varieties of immediate enjoyment. You see, there are so many nightclubs, there are so many bars, there are so many hamburger stands, so many young girls now walking around just ready to have sex with anybody who approaches them practically. It's so, the culture has gone down so far. So you could just gratify your senses. There's full facility, especially in America. There's so much facility for sense enjoyment here. You could just go for it. Enjoy. But that is called preya. It is immediate enjoyment. But that enjoyment will come to an end. And then you have to pay all, you have to go take all the karmic reactions. I remember there's one very graphic example from my own past experience of this shreya and preya. I remember when I was in high school in Houston, Texas, it's very humid, especially in May, the end of the spring semester. It was so unbearably humid. And in those days, there was no air conditioning in the school. That was too much pampering for the kids. You know, they wouldn't air condition the schools. We just had to gut it out in the classrooms, especially in the afternoon, you know, fifth period. But anyway, there was some of our cohorts, our fellow students, they thought, this isn't so cool, I'm just going to drop out. You know, they got a job at the gas station, they got their hot rod. So come around fifth period, we're sitting there in physics class, you know, gutting it out in physics class with all this boring stuff about, you know, the laws of the material universe. We could hear them out there in front of the school, rum, 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 burning rubber up and down Wigdon Street in front of the high school, you know, showing off to all of us, ha ha, I'm out here having a great time, you all are suffering there in fifth period, you know, I'm enjoying like anything and you're suffering, right? So that's a fact, we were gutting it out in fifth period physics class, and they're out there having a great time in their hot rod. But 10 years from, 10 years later, they're still working in that damn gas station. And where are we? You know, we got a college. Well, for me, I'm in the Hare Krishna. But for everybody else, you know, they got their college degrees. They got a nice, well-paid job in an air-conditioned office somewhere. So, Shreya and Preya. You see, You have to be willing to, if you want to get something that's really good, you have to be willing to work for it, undergo some austerities and penances to get it. So that's Shreya. In the beginning, it may be difficult sometimes. You've got to do some austerities. You know, you have a young, healthy body, you could have so many girlfriends, but you restrain your senses. You practice brahmacharya, tapasa brahmacharena, you see. You practice brahmacharya. You regulate your senses. And what will be the result? You will conquer over sex desire in due course of time. Sex desire will no longer bother you. You'll actually conquer over it. And all that energy, instead of running around in your mind after women, this woman, that woman, that energy will go to Krishna and will go to your spiritual master. And you just be, you'll be, instead of going up and down, you just go straight up in your Krishna consciousness. So it's worth the austerity. A little discomfort, a little, you know, tapasya is worth it. So for them also, if they just want to enjoy now, well, they can enjoy, that's a fact. But that enjoyment will come to an end very soon. Even if the society is not finished, even if Al-Qaeda doesn't come in and take nuclear weapons and blackmail the U.S. government to surrender to Osama bin Laden or have all the U.S. cities blown up by nuclear weapons, even if that doesn't happen, and it could very well happen, as soon as the Al-Qaeda gets a hold of nuclear weapons, they could easily plant a nuclear device, a powerful nuclear device, in every city in the U.S. and call up President Bush and say, okay, George, we have a nuclear bomb which can blow up all of New York City. You either give in to our demands or New York City is history. And George says, no, we don't give in to terrorists. New York City in a mushroom cloud. 10 million people killed. You see. Then another call. George, are you ready now to give in to our demands? Los Angeles is next on the list. George says, no, we don't negotiate with terrorists. Okay. Los Angeles goes up. At what point would the U.S. government be forced to cave in? You see. So this indeed could happen in the next few years. This is why I'm encouraging every member of this movement to take very seriously their responsibility to see that the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. As Prabhupada told me, not me, but he's telling all of us. I hear it every morning on the tape, so he's telling me too. It's a lecture he gave, and I've repeated it before, but he's saying that this world right now is being managed by rogues and demons. Now you make your life successful, make your life perfect, and you take the management. So it's really imperative for us at this moment in history with this big threat from Al-Qaeda. We have to get to the point where the high court judges in this country are wearing tilak. We do. This is serious. It's not just some pie-in-the-sky thing. We have to get very serious about becoming absolutely pure in our practice of Krishna consciousness and preaching with very boldly to everyone we meet, so that actually the world can be saved from some horrible things that can happen if these Al-Qaedas take over. It's the only thing that can say, from my understanding, the only thing that can stop the forward march of this terrorism is our Krishna conscious movement. I don't see anything else that has the power to stop it, personally. If there's something else, you know, the U.S. government has up their sleeve that can put a stop to it. They've been trying for how many years to catch Osama bin Laden without any success. I think, from my perspective, I can't see anything that can solve the problems of the world except for Krishna consciousness. The United Nations has been trying since the late 50s, and they haven't done it. I don't see anything else that can solve the problems of the world. Naikon Rabu, you're a senior devotee. Is there anything else that can solve the problems of the world besides Krishna consciousness movement? I don't see anything. If you have another suggestion, I'm willing to take it. If you have something better than Krishna consciousness, I'll give up Krishna consciousness. I'll give up Prabhupada and Krishna and become your disciple. If you can show me something better than Krishna consciousness, I'll give up Krishna consciousness. But I've been making this challenge for 34 years and nobody's showed me anything better. So far as I can see, there's nothing like this Krishna consciousness movement. There's nothing like this Krishna consciousness philosophy. It'll solve all my problems. It'll solve all the world's problems. So therefore, I'm remaining 100% dedicated to this, to Prabhupada and his mission, in requesting that all of you must do this. You must do this. Otherwise, you're just fools and rascals if you don't do this. Anyway. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Yes.
How can you be responsible in terms of, a member of ISKCON, and yet discriminate, like something's wrong and discriminate? How do, like you're saying, go about being responsible to rectify something?
Yeah.
Rather than others who are fault-finding, that's our tendency in conditioned states to find fault and be critical and be negative. So how do you discriminate
what's the proper thing? Like, I may think in my conditioned state that if my senses are not being gratified, that's wrong, for example. I'm not being given enough facility. Just like when a devotee used to go, he came to visit a temple, he wanted to do something there, he was on his own independent program, and he said, the temple authorities are not cooperating with me. So he was finding fault. But actually, it was he who was not cooperating with the temple authorities. So one has to understand, so that is a tendency that we may think, I want to rectify this problem at ISKCON, the problem is that they're not cooperating with me. But so how does one avoid the trap of, how does one then become enabled to see things purely and clearly, that I'm not clouded by my own selfish desires in how I think the society can be improved, right? Yeah. That's an excellent question. And that question was answered the other night in our Bhagavad Gita class. Teshang satati yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvikam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So it really boils down to our sincerity. If we are sincere just to completely surrender to Krishna, I haven't come to this movement to get some material facility. I've come here simply to be a humble servant of the Lord and accept whatever facility he provides for me. That's up to him. If Krishna wants to embrace me or leave me broken hearted by his absence, still he is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. Whatever Krishna provides for me, I accept it as his mercy upon me. If he gives me unlimited facility, if he gives me no facility, if that is the mood of purity, you see. We have to come to that mood of purity, that I don't have any demand for myself. I have no personal demands. I simply want to serve Krishna and accept whatever arrangement he provides for me. If we're in that spirit, then we will have the proper vision to discriminate what needs to be rectified in the society. Because we don't have any personal motivation. We're simply motivated what will benefit, what will please Prabhupada, what will make this movement a success. You see, we have to come to that pure platform of total surrender. And then Krishna will bless us with the proper intelligence. Teshang satati yuktanam bradajam vritti purvakam. Questions more? Yes, Prabhu.
Just one announcement that tomorrow morning after Guru Puja, there will be an ashram, Brahmacharya ashram meeting downstairs.
All right. Spread the word. Anyone who didn't hear it, make sure they know. Okay, then. We'll stop here. Thank you thank you all very much. This is my opportunity to thank each and every one of you for the wonderful kindness and hospitality that all of you have shown to myself and my wife, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. We're very, very indebted to you for all your sweet, loving kindness upon us wayward souls. So please give us your blessings that we can be Krishna conscious. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.